You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, we are continuing with the Sefer HaKadosh Adir Bamaram from Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato, the Ramchal, and we're picking up with the Osios of Hinei Razal. So after describing the reality that something fundamental is missing in exile, which is the Ruach of Nevuah, the Ruach of clarification, that even the middle, which is apparently devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is in truth fully saturated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light, as was the beginning and as it will be revealed in the end, which gives us the koach to find simcha within the moment that we find ourselves in, even if it appears to be devoid of that yichud in any revealed type of way. So now the Ramchal is going to continue bringing us into the sugya of Briyas HaOlam, because for the Ramchal, we're going to see there's a delicate balance between the paradoxical dance between concealment and revelation, expression and hiddenness, that is going to be found throughout the entire Sefer of Adir Bamaram, because that's what the Idur Rabbah is really talking about, how the infinite and the finite can interact with one another without the infinite losing its infinitude and without the finite losing its finite nature, which is the Ramchal explains to us over and over, the fundamental way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will express his ultimate goodness is only in an equal playing field between concealment and revelation. So Idur Rabbah describes how the Partsufim of Atik Yoimin and Zer Anpin are ultimately one and the same, and how Keser and our experience are ultimately reflective of one another because they're rooted in the ultimate Yichud. That's what the whole Idur Rabbah is about, showing how in truth everything is contained within the ultimate Yichud. And so what we're going to see throughout Adir Bamaram is a delicate balance between concealment and revelation, and how both are always at play in the process of being human, which is going to reveal the secrets of how to connect ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to find those missing things in Mitzias, especially in the times of exile, Kodem Geula. Hinei Razal, Chazal have already told us, Amru Shaddai Sha'amar La'ilamodai. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shaddai Shin Dalet Yud, which means that he said to the world, enough. Maseches Chagiga Daf Yud Beis Amun Aleph teaches us about the secret of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tzimtzum, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said enough to the world. The world was perpetually growing out of itself, expressing itself ad infinitum, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, die to the world, enough, and it was able to stop itself. Another shita over there in the Gemara is that sheish dai be'elukusa l'chol b'riya v'briya, that there's enough godliness for each and every person, which is also going to be directly connected to what Rabbeinu HaRamchal is going to be masbir. Sha'amar lo elam odai, the name Shakai means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said enough, he set a limit. Ve'avar l'cha zeh ha'inyan hetiv, and I'm going to explain this thing to you very clearly. Ki be'emes hu sod gadol, because in truth, it's a profound secret. And there's many profound secrets that the Ramchal is megala, but nowhere like in Sefer Adir Bamaram does he utilize that lashon of v'gala l'cha sod gadol. As Rav Shriki points out in his Mavo to the new edition, that in Adir Bamaram, like we said, it's the in-between space between the Ramchal's earlier writings and later writings, which means that it has a secret place, which is one of the reasons it was the first Sefer published in Eretz Yisrael of all of the Sfarim of the Ramchal, if I understand correctly. And he says that it's specifically in this Sefer, Ki Emes Hu Sod Gadol, is expressed hundreds of times, more so than any other Sefer of the Ramchal. V'tira shelapamim nimsa shaddai levado lapamim kel shakai. And before we can understand the secret of Shakai, which is the limitation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places, we have to understand that there's times where Shakai is going to appear on its own, which is going to be limitation on its own, and there's going to be times where we see it with the connection to the Shem Kel, Kel Shakai. Kel Shakai is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kav Yachol. V'gam Sarach L'das, and we also have to come to understand not only the difference between Shakai and Kel Shakai being limitation, Kel being Chesed, connected to limitation, meaning to say that there's sometimes limitation will appear as limitation alone, and sometimes limitation will appear with the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem Kel, connected to it. V'gam Sarach L'das, Lama Shem Ze Lo Husker Klal B'Maisa Bereshis. We also have to understand why this name, if Shakai or Kel Shakai, if it's that's so significant to the process of the creation of the world, of Hashem saying enough to the world to stop extending itself. So then why is it not found in the Maaseh Bereishis? Kamo shehuzkaru Elokim v'Havaya, as the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokim and Havaya, is described in Maaseh Bereishis, why not Kel Shakai? Again, the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu represent infinite worlds of thought and orientation and postures and ways that we experience our Moich and Midos. All of the names are just extensions of the Shem Havaya, which is an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Chvoidoi v'Atzmo kav yachol in some invisible way. But ultimately, the utilization of the names is to show that each name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents a process through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to the individual, to reality. And it's also what transforms the Torah into an opportunity for tefillah, because when the Ramchal or any tzaddik is bringing us into orientation with the arrangement or the usage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names, it's time for us to also pause and think Hashem, Elohim, and to contemplate Yud Kei Vav Kei, and to contemplate Elohim, again, to find the neshama of the tzaddikim and the hiskashrus and the dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the story. And when the tzaddikim, especially in Pnimiyas HaTorah, use the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu far more than it's utilized in Niglos HaTorah, understandably. But what it does is, because in Pnimiyas HaTorah, the Torah itself is already in the process of becoming a tefillah. Like Rabbi Nachman says, and like the Ramchal taught us, and we're going to see again with the tefillah that we end today's shiur with, the tachlis of the Torah is to turn the Torah into a tefillah. And in Pnimiyas HaTorah, the Torah is littered and scattered with the remarkable illumination of all of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Memela, it becomes more of a tefillah, because entering into the world of Pnimiyas is already an entrance into the tefillah. And this is connected also to the Haggadah. Haggadah is melashon agada, of connection, because the Haggadah is Torah and tefillah at once. It's reading the Torah in such a way and utilizing the interpretation of the Torah in such a way that it becomes a tefillah, which is the secret of Pesach, that the mouth opens up. And so when the Ramchal is bringing Shemos and trying to ask a question, al Shemos, so we have to pay attention to the Midos that we can try and encounter within ourselves, and by way of encountering ourselves, touch upon the infinite secret of how we connect to Hashem, which is the secret of Shem Elohim, Shem Havaya, and Shem Shakai. Is this action of Shakai not an action associated with the creation of the world? It's the arresting of the development of the world. It's the placement of a limit at the limitless. And obviously, it represents the fundamental creation of the world. So, how could it be that this name is not oriented towards Maaseh Bereishis? And Zapter Ramchal, b'chol ela hadvarim srichem lach. And in truth, you have to know all of these things. It's fundamental to know all of these things. Lahavin inyanei Rashbi Kadosh Yisrael, to come to understand the secret of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Holy One within Klal Yisrael, the secret of the Tzaddik, the secret of the Yechidei Hadoros, that the understanding of the Torah of the Tzaddikim has come to experience Dveikus with the Tzaddikim, because Dveikus with the Tzaddikim is ultimately the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us through Chazal to be Dovok to Him, that a person can't be Dovok to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because Eish Ochlo, Ela Ma, he Dovok. A person connects and is makasha the das to the das of the Talmidei Chachamim, as well as to the Torah HaKadosh, as well as to the representation of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses himself, and then we're zoicha to be makusha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Torah and Nishmas Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are all one. So the purpose of learning the Torah of Rashbi is to connect to the neshama of Rashbi, the same way learning the Torah of Moshe is to connect to the neshama of Moshe, as it's true with each and every sefer Kadosh that a person reads, especially if we're in Ruach HaKodesh, where the tachlis is to be mechaber our nefesh, ruach, and neshama with the ore of the neshama that was megala that Torah, and which is the inyan of what Chazal teach us when they say that anytime a person learns, it should be as if the individual who uttered that statement or taught that teaching is standing in front of them, or as if the individual, the author, the tzaddik, who's already passed away, his lips are murmuring in the kever, because there's an inherent connection between the Torah of a tzaddik and the tzaddik itself. And Zakhtar Amchal, we need all of these things to understand the secret of Rashbi, Mashi Higia Elav, what happened to Rashbi in his life, Vitikuno, and the tikkunim and the rectifications and the containment valves. A tikkun is always a concealment for the sake of revelation. A tikkun is a garment. It's an engarbing of something that allows it to shine its light without destroying as a result of its overwhelming nature. And every tikkun is a tzimtzum for the sake of hiskalus, a limitation for the sake of expression. There's a klal gadol b'pnimiyas HaTorah, that the tikkunim are concealments. They're tzimtzumim which allow the inner light to be expressed in an imaginable way, which is counter to the natural way. Counterintuitive to the natural way that a person would think that a tikkun fixing something is revealing something. But over here, we see that tikkunim are what the concealments are, what the role of concealment is, making room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tzimtzumim. And so, in order to understand Rashbi and his tikkun, kama tikkunim gedolim va'atzumim asher dibarti lach, and all of the tremendous rectifications and the profound rectifications that we're going to be speaking about, v'inyan ha'idra hazos, and the secret of this idra rabba, which was the first time where Rashbi gathered all of his students together in a moment of disclarity for the sake of eis lasos shel Hashem hifru sorosecha, when there was the stumbling nature of reality and it was time to fix things and a tikkun needed to be done and we had to get the process started. So this inyan can only be understood by understanding these names. It's specifically through the Idra Rabba that he and his Chavraya, he and his students gained for themselves and for the entire world the wholeness and the rectification that was necessary at that moment. And now we can see and understand what Rashbi was trying to do in this process of trying to fix the world, be Magala, a new tzimtzum, to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal himself in a new way for in accordance with what needed to be revealed at that moment. This is the language of what Rashbi says to his Chavraya in the Zohar, Ad Emas Nasiv B'Kaim Adachat Samcha. For how long will existence be allowed to be dependent upon a singular pillar where there's not the proper balancing of the Mitgalab, where the right is met with the concealment of the left, which meets the secret middle point where both opposites are unified. Now things are only operating in the extreme. Things appear to be one way or the other. It's stuck in black and white thinking. There's no stability. How long will it be this way? The tikkun needs to take place. We can't wait any longer. And we'll also come to understand in the secret of the introduction to the Idra Rabba, Rashbi and his Chavraya and the weapons that they garb themselves with and the tools that they garb themselves with, as the Ramchal is going to go through later on in Adir B'Marom. The Idra Rabba has this remarkable epic introduction where they girded themselves with swords and spears and bows and arrows and all sorts of slingshots in their battle now for the sake of bringing about tikkunim in the world through the siach and Torah. And what it means are modes of thought, what it means are modes of thinking and modes of concealing thought and modes of motivating thought, all of the different weapons. We'll come to understand all of these tools that exist already within the spirit, the Alma Hirik Chanicho, like we said, Cherev Huitzata Meta'ara, that Rashbi took his sword out of its sheath. Rashbi was ready with his weapons, as Rabbi Nachman describes in the second Torah of Lakuta Maran, that the weapon of Mashiach Tzidkenu is Torah and Tefillah, like we said, transforming the Torah into Tefillah. Eskol evar lecha b'seder nachon u'be'er heitev b'siyata d'shmaya. I'm going to explain everything clearly to you with Hashem's help. Kiyad Hashem atoiva alai. Like any tzaddik emes, he understood that he was just a shliach. He understood that it was only through the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was capable of expressing this writing. It was only through the shmiya ha-pnimis of the kala pnima deloy ishtama v'ishtama, the inner inaudible voice that Ramchal was able to hear and the part that he wasn't able to hear within the hearing of it all. All of that, the Ramchal is drawing down from the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and through siyata d'shmaya, the mark of a true tzaddik, the mark of the bittel and the shiflus ha-amitis of a tzaddik who's mekosher to the chelik of Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, the secret of Mashiach ben Yosef. So the Ramchal introduces a concept right now which is going to be fundamental for us to understand, which is where concealment operates. If we're trying to speak about the transition from the opposite of concealment into concealment, of infinitude into finitude, so we have to identify the terms and conditions of where we're capable of speaking. And again, the Ramchal is utilizing the language of the Kabbalah of the Arizal and applying them to our Das Tachton, our human orientation towards what these ideas mean in terms of human reflection and in terms of human experience. Not to say that that is the only meaning behind them, God forbid, lo aleinu lachshov kaze, ever, that the Ramchal was trying to separate the interpretation from the mushal of Kabbalah itself, which is a heretical thing to claim, but rather the Ramchal was giving us a unique taste of what only the Ramchal was capable of expressing, which was the light of the nimshal, not, God forbid, to negate the necessity of the mushal or the building blocks of the Ari, but because the Ramchal understood, we need to know how to apply these things, and so we have to speak about them in human terms, but obviously they exist far beyond human terms, and the human terms applied to them are never assumed to be the final word. They're all hava aminos. They're all simply possible understandings, as all of the tzaddikim reveal over and over. And because the tzaddikim say these possible understandings through their bittul and their anava, memela, when we read them, they become certainty. But only because the tzaddik was certain in their uncertainty are we capable of having this Torah. So there are the partsufim. There's keser, which we said is the highest partsuf. Then there's chachma. Then there's bina. Then there's zer'anpin, and then there's nukva. So ultimately, the higher three partsufim, keser, chachma, and bina, represent the infinite realms where human experience is not really grasping. Human experience cannot pollute there, nor can human experience really reach there until there's a fundamental switch that reveals more of what has always been present but inaccessible to us. The access point and the place where we are meant to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the lower two spheros, the Zer Anpin V'Nukva, or what we call Kud Shebricha V'Shchinte, what we refer to as Yichud of Soivev Kalaman and Mamalik Kalaman. Zer Anpin is the masculine expressivity of Torah, of order, of organization, of measurement, of expression, and Malchus is ultimately going to be the feminine counterpart, the feminine expressive tendency to contain those elements, to express them from within the concealment power that it contains, in spite of the fact that it seems to contain nothing of its own. The balance between Zer Anpin and Nukva is expression and receptivity. And so the Ramchal now is going to begin to teach us a little bit about how these two partsufim operate so that we can better understand the role that limitation and the name Shakai plays in terms of creating all of existence and how the finite can emerge from the infinite. So Zer Anpin V'Nukva, the two partsufim that are accessible to us and that are identifiable within the self of Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. Hashem Elokeichem is Zer Anpin and Nukva Da'atzilus. Zer Anpin V'Nukva Heim Nechshavim Zayim Tachtoinim Da'atzilus. We know that in truth every world has 10 spheros, and those 10 spheros get composed into five partsufim in the Olam of Tikkun. The sphere of Keser becomes the parts of Keser, the sphere of Chachma becomes the parts of Chachma, the sphere of Bina becomes the parts of Bina, the spheros of Chesed, Gvur, Tveres, Netzach, Choyd, and Yesod become the parts of Zer Anpin, and the sphere of Malchus becomes the parts of Malchus. Now, obviously, every partsuf is contained by 10 spheros that existed underneath the singular sphere that was revealed, because everything is always composed of the wholeness that it contains. But ultimately, we have these 10 spheros that become the five partsufim. But when looking at it from the perspective of the spheros, the lower two spheros are going to be Zer Anpin and Nukva, so they're going to be considered the seven lower spheros of the 10 spheros of Olam Atzilus. Keser, Chachma, Bina are the first three partsufim, and then everything afterwards from Chesed down to Malchus is going to be considered the Zayin Tachtonim of Malchus, of Atzilus, the graspability of Atzilus. And what exists at the bottom of Atzilus ultimately becomes the root source of all of the existence of the lower worlds, as well as the way that the lower worlds operate. Meaning to say, the lower worlds are Bria, Yetzira, Nasiya, the place that Bria, Yetzira, Nasiya, the worlds of separation that appear to be removed from the explicit revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are going to be where we can find the expression or the Hanhaga that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals from the lowest part of the Olam HaAtzilus, which is what's going to be Megala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Or Lamata, into the worlds of concealment, which are Zer Anpin and Nukva, which is Kud Shebricha V'Shchintai. And the secret of these Sheva Sviros, these two higher partsufim that come down from the world of Atzilus to animate our world with the possibility of refining it to the point of revealing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was found here in spite of all of the Tzimtzumim. The power of Zer Anpin and Nukva of Atzilus to be yored down to Bria Yetzira Nasiya, or our ability to draw them down through all of the Kavanos, that is the baseline of where the spirituality of our world comes from. And this is the secret of the 7 days of the creation of the world. The Havein, and a person must understand, v'dakdek me'od al kol hadvarim ha'ilu, and a person needs to be very medakdek, a person has to really pay attention to the fact that we have to be explicit with our understanding. Ki ani lo archiv habiur al kol dibor v'dibor, says the Ramchal, I am not going to spend so much time explaining each and every utterance that I offer here. Ki kol davar v'davar hayatzarich perish aruch ma'od, because every point that we're going to be making along the lines of bigger points that are going to be made out of those smaller points would demand an elongated process of explanation. V'yachabed hamasa al hakoysev v'al hakoyra ke'echad, and this will bring an issue to the writer as well as to the reader as one. Now, it's again incredible to see the Ruach HaKodesh and the Mesiris Nefesh of the Ramchal for Klal Yisrael, where he says that it's going to be a bother to the writer and to the reader. L'chora, why do we have to say it's going to be a bother to the writer and the reader? We can just say it would be a bother to the writer, and that would be enough of a reason. It's too much to write. Elama, the implication, B'derech Efshar, is that even if it was a problem for the writer, if it was beneficial for the reader, then the tzaddik would be willing to express more and more for the sake of Klal Yisrael. But over here, we see that elongating every topic to the degree that we think we know each topic perfectly would be problematic and burdensome upon the reader as well. Ach al kein amarti al ze kamamar hachacham. And as a result of this, as a result of the shortness of the explanations that I will be offering, what I will say is tein lachacham v'yachachem od, that the Rosh HaPrakim should be given over to the wise one, and that the wise one should draw that wisdom out and extend it into more wisdom. Meaning to say that you become the explanations of the Torah. You find the sugyos. Reader must find the sugyos. Reader must understand the depth of the sugya and all of the principles that every utterance of the Ramchal is uttering is built upon. When a person only looks at the finished product of what the Ramchal is saying, or really any other tzaddik, it seems sometimes very difficult to baseline it back to the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and to the Torah of the Tzaddikim Amitim, and to the Arizal, onto the Zohar HaKadosh. It seems to be a standalone Torah. It's only when a person understands that the way that tzaddikim write is that they can't give us all of the Hakdamos necessarily, because there's an urgency to provide the kernel of the idea, irrespective of all of the hakdamos that are necessary. Hakdamos ha'arizal, all of the Torah of the Arizal is called the hakdama, because ultimately all it is there to teach us that we can't fully know. And if we think that we can know, then a person is going to spend all of their time trying to know everything before they begin to try and know. But ultimately, when a person surrenders and says, I'm not going to know anything anyway, as the tzaddikim of Zidichov would say, that they would sit over a daf over and over and over and over again, a daf of Eitz Chaim, a daf of Pnimius HaTorah, and they would not stand up until it was fundamentally clear to them that they had more questions than answers, and that they didn't know what the full explanation was, because that's the economy of Pnimius HaTorah, the not knowing itself. And so the Ramchal is saying, I'm giving you a shortcut here. I'm giving you a shortcut. I'm not going to express everything, because a person can't understand everything anyway, and rather take what you can and extend from that place in the secret of Tein l'chacham yechachem od, or Dai l'chakima b'remiza. For the chacham, a remez is enough, because a remez is a secret of re'e mazeh, what is contained within this outer casing of it. And it's only through the descent, through the eyes of the Chacham themselves, that can come to experience the full totality of the idea. So the Ramchal is saying, I can't even write everything that needs to be written. And Mela, what you should read is understand what you can and take from there. Rak oiver amok al kol psia. But there is a responsibility upon the reader when reading a sacred text like this, that a person should not move through this text as if they're walking through a clarified path that is revealed in front of them. It's only when a person contemplates and pays attention to with a depth of understanding on each and every step along the path, only then will a person have their derech illuminated in front of them. The And it's enough for you with this ha'ara, and I will continue to do what I have done. And so what is remarkable about this nearly perfect piece of Torah is that the Ramchal opens up with the secret of Shakai and trying to understand limitation, the role that limitation places in the fundamental process of creation and the process of trying to understand what's missing in reality. We have to understand the nature of reality. And to understand the nature of reality, we have to understand how the infinite can give birth, kavyachol, to something that appears to be finite. And so the Ramchal begins his discussion with the secret of Shaddai, which is the secret of Tzimtzum, which is the radical secret of the emergence of finite from within the infinite, where both can operate in unison in the secret of Bechira. The Ramchal asks, why is this name not utilized in the beginning of creation? And the Ramchal continues to explain how we're going to properly orient ourselves towards creation, which is going to be looking at the source of things, which is Zer'anpin and Nukva da'atzilus, and how they express themselves down here through all of the mechanisms and the mechanics of the Arizal, and how the Moichin come down into this world to illuminate this world and all of its degradation and fallen nature and its apparent concealment. And then the Ramchal goes in and he says, and here's why I'm not going to give you an explanation of each and every part, and we have to just kind of move forward. And he says, V'day l'cha b'zaha'ara, that literally, the Ramchal starts off with the secret of Tzimtzum to understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world. Asks a question about the nature of Tzimtzum. Why is the name Dai not found here? Then he goes on to describe how we're going to begin to understand how the process of existence takes place. And then within, in a very kind of meta way, Kavyachol, within the very writing and describing this process, which is endless and therefore it needs constriction in order to understand it, the Ramchal is doing the very same thing with our understanding of his understanding of the ideas. He's saying that when I convey these ideas, which by definition need a limitation because of their unlimited nature, I'm going to be writing it in a way that is also going to be by way of limitation in spite of its unlimited nature, which is the secret of I'm going to give you a little bit and you'll be able to find a lot in it. V'day l'cha b'ha'ara, and it's enough for you with a ha'ara. It's enough, as it says, Shaddai sha'amar la'olam oydai. It's enough. V'ehyeh ani mafarish v'ha'ilich l'fi darchi, and I am going to continue and express the matters in accordance to my way. Neram Chal is going to continue, and we'll read a little bit more. We'll read more to go into the Ramchal's Lashon. And here, again, so we have to take the Ramchal's words seriously, that while there's a lot of ideas that need to be understood and a lot of principles that need to be fleshed out properly in order for a person to have a proper understanding of the Sugya, nevertheless, a person doesn't have to understand all of the Prate Pratim, because for many of us, we're not starting from the Pratim to the Klal, we're starting from the general principle to go back down to the Pratim. In our generation, it's okay to know the normal, general, practical spaces of the idea, and then to find the application into the pratim. So we're going to spend time, but not all the time necessary, in conveying what the meaning is behind the text to our humble understanding. Kvar amarti, says the Ramchal, shahazun him shayrish oilam hazev v'han hagasov. I've already explained above that zun, which is zer'anpin, and nukva, the two lower parts from the seven lower spheres v'ilam atzilus, are the roots of this world and the functioning and the governance of this world in the way that it functions. V'ema hi makor lahem. But where does zer'anpin and nukva come from? So we said that there's three upper parts of him, which is Keser, Chachma, and Bina, and then we have Zer'anpin and Nukva, and the lower seven spheros are going to be considered the accessible points where human experience can be uncovered and felt and experienced, which is Kutcher, Bricha, Vishrinte. But where do those seven spheros come from? So we have the secret of Em HaBanim Smecha, that they come from the secret of Bina, the lowest of the higher parts of him and the highest of the ones that are Shayach to the lower realm. Ima, which is the parts of Bina, stands between the Moichin and the Midos. Keser and Chachma are removed from our graspability. The Chaya and the Yechida, oriented towards Keser and Chachma, are going to be Makifim. They're not expressed, internalized. They're not embodied, because they represent an ideal that is beyond the capacity of the mind to grasp in this way. But the Neshama operates within the body itself. The Neshama, which is Makusha Tabina, operates within the mind. It finds an expression in the mind, in the Malchus de Tvuna, in the lowest expression of Bina itself, which begins to be our thoughts and the language of thought, which is the secret of Leia, as we're going to discuss. The source of all of these spheros, the source of these partsufim, come from Bina. Bina is the source from which all graspability emerges. Bina, therefore, is not simply graspable, because it's relegated to the upper realms, which contain the halachos of ungraspability, but at the same point, it's graspable. Elama, Bina represents the impossible unity between graspability and ungraspability merging into one. It's the secret of Eluva Elu Dibra Elu Kim Chaim. It's a secret of Train Hafachim Benoisa Echad. Bina is the place of the lave, which can have Yetzirah and Yetzirah Tov. Bina can be impregnated, and it can be itself at the same time. Bina is the shame of Havaya, which represents the clarity and the refinement of the upper realms, but it's the Nekudos of Elohim, which represents the concealment and the emergence into the lower realms. So Bina, Ima, is the source, is the place from where these two parts Sufim come from where Zer'anpin and Nukva are going to come from. Shemisham him yotzim, they come out from the place of Bina. Ubi yisoid shala yesh shem kel shakai. And in the foundation of Bina, in the fullest expression of Bina, in that place where Bina finds its fullest expression, the mother finds its fullest expression, where it's going to produce the next expression of Zer'anpin and Malchus. So the name that's associated with that place is going to be called El Shaddai, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being enough, but also associated with Kael, which is going to be associated with Chesed. V'sham mitztayrim kol ha'sfiros zun terem tzeisam. And it's specifically there, within the womb of Bina Kavyachol, within that refined place prior to expression, at the limit point where things begin to emerge, where all of the dinim are found, where the damim are found, where the Pesach is found, and from that place revelation is going to emerge. There we find the encounter with the Shem Kel Shakai, and that's there where all of the spheros that are going to emerge begin to take shape prior to their emergence. Meaning to say, things generally appear a certain way. They appear as measured. They appear as finished. They appear as products. And it's assumed that prior to their emergence as finished products, that they operated in a space of non-existence. But the secret of Ima, the secret of Bina, and the emergence of something from a womb is the secret of the concealment, the preparedness that takes place in the stages of concealment, the Ebor stage, the stage of pregnancy and latency, where things are emerging in a potential form prior to the actualization. There is limit that begins to be there as well. All of the formation prior to expression in this world of concealment begins to form within that inner space of Bina prior to its actual congealment in an actual Kli. So Kel Shakai, the name Kel Shakai, the fact that there's limitation, but at the same point, it's an unlimited type of limitation. It's still connected to Kel. It's rooted in the innermost point, the Yesod of Bina, which is where the formation of the parts of Zer'anpin and Nukva, Malchus, and all of the spheres of Zer'anpin, which is our experience in this world, where it's going to emerge from. The Kfar Nisbar B'Makomo, Inyan Shem Shakai, and we've already explained elsewhere, based on the Eitz Chaim Kadisha, what the name Shakai means. Shabo Sod Or Mayim Rekia Umeya Birchin Besod Asma. And what the Ramchal is hinting to here is that what we understand now is that the point of emergence, where limitation is going to begin to take shape, where Zer'anpin and Nukva, the points of orientation within our limited human experience, the place of our midos and our maisim, the place of graspability in our limited way, it comes from a place of Bina. And in that place of Bina, The name associated with the formation prior to expression, the beginningness of concealment prior to any actual concealment itself. Because, like we said, being on the one hand is a source of concealment, on the other hand, it's removed completely from concealment. How do we relate to this paradox, which on the one hand it's rachamim rabim, on the other hand it's dinim misabrimine. Ella, it's the beginning of dinim, it's the shoresh hadinim prior to their emergence into dinim, which is why bina is the place of hamtakas hadinim b'sharasham. So because it's the source of gvuros, and it's only after their emergence outwards that they become din. So in order to understand the source of where these come from, the Ramchal points out that the name associated with that place is Kel Shakai. And so why is that name Kel Shakai associated with the preparatory stages of the formation of Zer Anpin and Malchus prior to their emergence? So the Ramchal says, now let's break down the name into two parts so that we can properly understand why Kel Shakai, this name Kel Shakai, which operates in the Yesod of Bina, which is the formation of Zer Anpin and Nukva of our experience, why it's so fundamental. So now the Ramchal is going to start with explaining the name Shakai. And we've already explained that the name Shakai represents the process of Or, Mayim, Rekia, Umeya, Birchin, which are the secret of Asmab. And so we're going to kind of just end with this sentence because it's going to demand a little bit of an introduction, which we'll begin the next shiur with, Amir Tzashem. But Shakai, like we said, represents the process of concealment. Again, this is just the Shakai of Kel Shakai. Once we understand Shakai and Kel, then we could go back to the Yesod of Bina and understand why the Yesod of Bina, which is the birthplace of our experience, our Anpin and Nukva, why it's oriented towards the name Kel Shakai. Because if we can know why the name Kel Shakai is there, then we can really understand the purpose and the process in which our true formation is meant to take shape. And so the same Shakai represents the emergence, the ordered, layered emergence of refinement into congealment, of the process, the steady, slow and steady incremental process by which infinitude, kavyachol, begins to take shape within the finite, how the ore begins to congeal into a kli. And that process is already referred to in the Svarim of the Rishonim and the Biurim on Sefer Yetzirah as Or, Mayim, and Rekia, and Meya Birchin. That we'll see Amar Kuf. There's Amar Kuf. Amar is Aleph, Mem, Resh, Or, Mayim, and Rekia, and Kuf represents the 100 brachos. Or is the most refined stage. Or is the most refined stage to the degree that it's really not even been considered a physical entity. Mayim is the congealment of that refinement of light, but still in a fluid state prior to its containment within any actual separation. Rekia is the next third stage where the separation begins to set in. Vayihi rekia b'soicha mayim vayimavdil ben mayim l'mayim. So you have refinements prior to actualization, the movement from prior to actualization into a state of flowing prior to congealment. And then the Rekia is the congealment, and the Meya Birchin are going to be the full culmination where a person can utilize that experience that has been congealed and elevate it back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These four stages of the incremental stages of growth and concealment, of one stage being a concealment on the level of Or, then concealed a little bit more until it becomes Mayim, and then concealed a little bit more until it becomes Rekia, until it concealed fully, until it becomes something graspable. And we're going to see this is a fundamental process that takes place in any hamshacha of moichin, that our drawing down the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavyachol through the secret space of the mind, which is a receptacle of bittul strong enough to draw down the chelak alei mamish. So at that point, we're going to see how the mind begins as Or, and then it congeals a little bit more into Mayim, and then it becomes a Rekia until it becomes a Meya Birchin. These four stages of incremental growth and expression outwards are none other than the four stages that are going to be found at every level, which the Ramchal is identifying here as the secret of Asmab. Asmab is Ab, Sab, Gama, Ben. These four full expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, where when the letters that spell out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, the Yud Kei, the Vav Kei, are spelled with different permutations of letters to represent the full expression of the word. So Yud, instead of just being a single letter of Yud, will be written Yud Vav Dalet, because it's the miloy, it's the expression of the word itself. And so there's many, many various ways to spell. The Ramami Pano points out already, I believe, 12 or 13, if not more, ways that the Shem Havaya can find its different siruf and different orientation by spelling it out fully. But the one that the Arizal identifies as the most fundamental for our understanding are the 72 numbered expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, the Shem Ab, where the gematria is 72. It's Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud Vav, and Vav Yud. Then there's going to be the next level, which is going to be Sag, which is the gematria of 63, which is going to be Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud Vav Aleph Vav, and Hey Yud. Then you're going to have the third iteration of the Shemos, which is going to be the Shem of Ma, which is going to be Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph Vav, and Hey Aleph, which is going to be 45. And then you're going to have the Shem Ben, which is the 52 value name, which is going to be Yud Vav Dalet Hey Hey Vav Vav Hey Hey. And those four permutations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name represent the very same four levels that we described earlier of Chachma, Bina, Zer Anpin, and Malchus, the four stage process of things being revealed, or Mayim, Rikia, Meya Birchen, the various interconnected levels of things taking on shape. And that's going to be hinted to in the name of Shaddai, where it represents the containment of things, where things begin to meet limitation, where things begin to congeal into something that is graspable on a certain level of the mind. Vizeki ha'evarim, and the limbs, the orientation of things represented to by the way that we spell HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, as they are operant in the inner interiority still at that stage of the Yesoid Debina prior to revelation externally, mischalfim bitzirim, they all change and shift in accordance with the arrangement of them, because everything is everything over there, ubekoyach kvulosehem. And what is equally necessary for the revelation of these things is the difference not only in their expression, but the difference in their limitation. Because kibihios chamram nigval shalolis pashet ela b'makom echad b'kan b'makom echad kan, because it's only through that containment and that congealment, so to speak, that refinement that ensures that they only express themselves in one place and not another place, in one time and not another time, nisharas tsuratsam kamoy shehi le'enenu. That is how things take on some element of shape. So what the Ramchal is describing here is the role that the Shem Shakai plays, and once we understand that, we'll come to the Shem Kael, and then we'll be able to understand why the permutation of Kael and Shakai is going to be the name associated with the realm of the Yisoid Debina Da'atzilus, which gives birth to Zer Anpin V'Nukva Da'atzilus, which begins to be the Shoresh of our entire existence down here, which what the Ramchal is going to try and do is bring us closer and closer to the heart of this question, to live this question, to live the answers, and to live the undoing of the answers, and to ultimately find ourselves at the heart of the Sefer, which is in Gan Eden itself, Be'ezras Hashem.
You've been listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Inward was created by Rabbi Zach Kamenetz and is produced by Zev Gavriel. The music is by Zusha. You can help support the production of this podcast by visiting us online at orpodcasts.com.